FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's January 9th, 2017. And, well, rumors of Hillary Clinton running for mayor of New York City. Honestly, I don't think their budget's big enough. There's not enough money there to steal. What, they've only got about $100 billion a year budget. If there's not trillions, Hillary's not interested. But more importantly, what's going on with the world economy, the U.S. economy? Is everything coming up Trump? Is all that glitters not Trump? Well, John Rubino here to discuss it. Good morning, John.
Morning, Kerry. Yeah, if you look at recent numbers, things are pretty good now. You know, I just posted something where I asked the question, what do the following headlines have in common? And then five headlines after that. U.S. wages grow at the fastest pace since 2009. Euro area economy ended the year with the strongest growth since 2011. Surge in home prices is beating the one in mortgage rates. Manufacturing in U.S. expands at fastest pace in 2 years. And German inflation is welcomed back. Sounds like a normal economy that we grew up with, Kerry. You know, everything's growing and there's a steady rate of inflation now. And it sounds like the Keynesian side of the monetary and economic mainstream is getting ready to declare victory. Yeah. As if we've returned to quote unquote normal. But what's really happening is that at the beginning of 2016, the whole world went on another borrowing binge. You know, the U.S. government in 2016 added something like $1.3 trillion of new debt just at the government level. And corporations in 2016 borrowed a record amount of money. And consumers took on a lot more debt to buy cars and houses and to finance educations. So if you add it all up, the global economy got slammed with this tsunami of new cash from all this borrowing. In other words, we borrowed that money and then we spent it. Mm-hmm. So it shouldn't be a surprise that the top line economic numbers are showing a lot of new spending at every level of society, but it was all financed with debt, which means all we did in 2016 was dig ourselves into an even deeper hole. You know, the consequences of that debt are going to be felt in the future, which is how debt works. You know, when you borrow money, the good stuff happens up front. And the consequences, the negative consequences, kind of trickle in over time and only become serious somewhat further down the road. So the guys who did the borrowing this year are immune from the consequences while they got to reap the benefits. You know, the corporate CEOs who borrowed a ton of money and bought back their stock pushed their stock price up. And so they look like good managers. And the governments that borrowed a ton of money and spent it to generate growth get to bask in the glow of the reports that show that growth, you know, and they're going to retire, these guys who borrowed the money, and they're going to go off with huge pensions and lots of prestige, but they're going to leave a mess for their successors. Now, we've been doing this since the 1980s, of course, so it's not like this is a new strategy, but it is interesting that we did it in the sixth or seventh year of a recovery. You know, it's not normal to take on massive amounts of debt at that point in the business cycle, because usually, you know, by then, the accumulated growth of the past few years is throwing off lots of cash, which people tend to use to either pay off debt or at least to moderate their borrowing. Well, this time around, we didn't bother with that. We just went for it and borrowed a ton of new money. So this cycle is unique in yet another way, you know, in the sense that we haven't moderated our borrowing. We are just taking on more and more debt year after year, no matter where we are in the business cycle. And that's going to blow up on us. So the way it'll probably blow up, or at least the early indications are that interest rates will go up in response to the fact that the economy has been growing for all these years and zero interest rates don't seem reasonable anymore, you know? So bond buyers are requiring higher interest rates and governments are having trouble justifying pushing rates down further. And so it's, especially in the US, you're seeing bond yields spike. And that means that all the debt that we took on over the past 30 years, which has to be rolled over at a highly frequent rate since we borrowed a lot of it short term or on terms that are variable. In other words, attached to some indicator like LIBOR or whatever. That debt has to be rolled over at higher and higher rates, which means our interest costs are going to soar going forward. So that's the thing to look at as if you're looking for a catalyst for what blows things up is spiking interest costs for governments and corporations and individuals. If it all happens at once, you know, if everybody's interest costs go up at the same time, in effect, that's a massive, massive tax cut or tax increase all around the world. And the consequences will be felt this year, next year, and the year after.
Yeah, massive defaults and just highly deflationary. It's going to suck all that money out of the economy, and the economy is in no position to withstand that. It's just amazing the memes, the way they change, how quickly they evolve. 1 minute it's we got to have Hillary elected, or it's going to be horrible for investors. Hillary's defeated. Trump is elected. Oh, lower tax rates going to be great for investors, great for the economy, great for businesses. And so there'll be a little bit more debt. It doesn't matter. The economy is going to do so much better. It can absorb the debt, but we can't even service the debt that we've got now. And yet, basically they had the same meme ready, regardless who was going to be elected. It didn't matter. And that's what we're really seeing now. I think this rally was baked into the cake. It didn't matter who got elected. It was preordained, pre-staged, pre-packaged.
Yeah. In the sense that we borrowed so much money earlier in the year, you know, the federal government was going out of its way to make sure Hillary got elected by borrowing, $1 trillion+, which is, you know, we've done it before, but it's still a huge amount of money for any government to borrow in 1 year. And the effects of that have been felt throughout the year. So going into the election, we were seeing pretty good economic numbers be reported. And the talking heads who track such things took that as a positive sign for Hillary because it meant the incumbent party was doing a good job. Therefore, they were likely to get votes from people whose lives were being improved by all that new money flowing into the economy. It didn't work, though, because that money doesn't trickle down to Main Street, at least in any appreciable way. You know, when the government creates money now, it goes to the big banks, who then give it to their preferred customers. So the 1% makes out big time. You know, with stock market at record levels, who benefits from that? The guys who own the stocks, you know, and with the bond market at the tail end of a 30-year bull market, who benefited from that? The guys with huge bond portfolios. So our method of stimulating an economy directly helps rich people first. And voters got that, even if the political class didn't understand it, because they were doing well and they don't really enjoy talking to people in Iowa or Wisconsin or Ohio.
Flyover country.
Yeah, yeah. That's an uncomfortable conversation for them because the cultures are so different, you know, and they have trouble showing respect to people like that long enough to have a coherent conversation. So they weren't really aware of what life was like for instance, an auto worker or an ex-auto worker. You know, a guy who used to make $60,000 a year working on a GM assembly line and is now a greeter at Walmart, that guy is not going to listen when you say things are getting better because for him, the world has crashed and burned around him. And there are an awful lot of people like that. And that's how Trump got elected. You know, it didn't matter what the top line economic or inflation number was. You know, if unemployment dropped below 5%, as the government reports unemployment, that didn't resonate for people whose lives didn't improve in any way in the last year. So they tended to vote for Trump and he ended up winning. Mm-hmm. And that's a message that, you know, the government doesn't seem to have gotten yet because now we've got Trump coming in saying, yeah, let's borrow and spend a huge amount of money and see what that does.
But for Main Street.
Yeah. Well, right? Well, you know, we'll see if it affects Main Street or if so much of that money goes to the huge government contractors who do the work and the big banks that finance the work. You know, we don't know how it's going to play out. And we also don't know if at this point in the cycle, there's anything you can do with borrowed money that helps in any way, because we already owe so much. I mean, we've already borrowed so much more money than the system can handle, more than we can ever hope to pay off. So if we borrow more and that has the effect of raising interest rates, then we totally cancel out the positive effects of, you know, hiring some people to build an airport or something like that. Mm. So I think we're beyond helping right now financially, and there's probably nothing that can be done. And what that means also is that we'll try some new experimental stuff going forward, because if the old stuff doesn't work, you got a lot of ideas waiting in the wings, like a guaranteed national income, where you just say, all right, look, rich people have really made out in the last 30 years. Let's take some of their money and give it to everybody else in the form of $5,000 a year, free and clear from the government. Or a debt jubilee, where you say, all right, let's borrow a bunch of money at the government level and use it to give, we'll give it to people to pay off their credit cards, mm-hmm. and see how that works. And yeah, that might have an immediate impact on Main Street. But since it's being done with borrowed money, rising interest rates or the other kinds of instability that flow from a government that is just grossly, you know, beyond the pale in debt, are probably going to offset any benefits we get from even the new experimental stuff. So it's hard to imagine going forward with the numbers being what they are, us even buying ourselves a few more years. You know, it's amazing that 2016 was as good as it was in terms of top line headline numbers. Because 2016 it began with horrible numbers across the board. You know, we were tipping into deflation around the world, and corporations were grossly over indebted already, and factory activity was plunging, and business inventories were soaring. You know, stuff that usually indicates a recession brewing. That's how we entered 2016, and we got through it by borrowing a huge amount of new money. But I don't know. You know, calling an end to this cycle is one of the most dangerous things that a pundit or a talking head can do, because we're in uncharted territory in terms of the amount of money that we're borrowing. So we don't know when it ends. You know, we don't know what the final last bit of borrowing that breaks the camel's back is going to be. But it's hard to imagine it going much further here without some kind of a currency crisis, because who is going to want to hold these fiat currencies created and managed by these governments that can't possibly pay off their debt? You know, that's out there. The Austrian economics crack-up boom is probably going to be the end of the road for the current financial system. And it feels like it's not far away, but who knows? You know, we can't know until it happens that the game is over. But it definitely feels like we're not that far from it.
Yeah, that's an unknown unknown, as Rumsfeld would say. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, you know, spiking interest rates would do it. And, you know, we're seeing gold respond favorably to what's happening lately. You know, the prospect of another $1 trillion of government spending financed with debt is starting to light a fire under precious metals. So the markets are responding the way you would normally think they would. In other words, mm-hmm. the way Austrian economic theory says they would, rather than Keynesian economic theory. So we'll see if it keeps up. I don't know. I do think that equities, you know, it's hard to imagine the stock market going much further from here unless we enter some kind of a currency crisis where the thing that we're using to measure stock prices plunges in value and stocks go up because of that, you know, just in terms of we're changing the measuring stick. But other than that, with corporations or with stocks trading at record levels in terms of the underlying earnings, if history is any guide, which it might not be, but if it is any guide, then we're at a point where a correction at least and some kind of a serious crash more likely is coming. And then that throws the wealth effect into reverse, where we all feel poorer because our stocks are going down instead of up. We stop spending. And at that point, it's not clear what the government does to stop the garden variety bear market turning into a garden variety recession, turning into something much more serious. You know, we're back in 2008, 2009, except that we've doubled our debt.
Good question. And we're just not going to know it for a while. Hey, what's going to happen here? It ain't going to be pretty. It's when the government loses control and they just can't dictate the course of events anymore. If you talk to the progressives and the Keynesians, they're like, oh, that'll never happen. Can't happen. you know, we're in control. But the reality tells us that it's not unusual for them to lose control. It's happened numerous times in the past. And then they all sit down and cobble together a new system. Will they be able to do it this time? Will they lose control one time too many and really watch and things just cascade and the system winds up resetting itself? That's really the question here. And we don't know the answer to that because modern life without a monetary system, it's just impossible. It can't be done, you know? Can't happen.
Yeah, we'll have some kind of a monetary system. It might be based on Bitcoin.
Yeah, at the rate we're going.
Well, maybe, yeah. Or some kind of Bitcoin gold hybrid, or we might go back on a gold standard. You know, there are lots of ways to fix this, but not without extreme pain for the people who are on the wrong side of the changes that come. Yes. For instance, if we get there through a depression where all this debt gets wiped out because everybody goes bankrupt, well, then, you know, the people who are owed money are the ones who are disadvantaged because nobody's going to pay them. And so then they lose everything.
Like pensioners. Like pensioners, you know, you don't think of yourself as a creditor
because
you have a pension coming, but you are a creditor of numerous institutions, different institutions, not just your state or your company or whatever, right? You're a creditor.
Carrie, do we have time to talk about pensions a little bit, or are we just about up against
a couple more minutes? So let's go for it.
All right. We're seeing a really interesting thing happen in Dallas where their pension fund is grossly underfunded. And they were talking about making changes to future benefits, which is what you got to do when your pension fund is grossly underfunded. Mm-hmm. And so you saw this wave of cops and teachers and firefighters taking out basically early retirement. In other words, cashing out their pension now for a lump sum to avoid those cuts. And that was going to deplete the pension. That was going to drain it of funds. So now they're talking about clawing back extremely favorable pension benefits from people who already started taking them. And so the system is basically spinning into chaos here. And that's Dallas. That's a relatively healthy city.
And a
so
healthy
imagine
state.
What Chicago is going to be like, or Connecticut, you know, places with really underfunded pension plans that are in much worse shape in a lot of ways than Dallas is. So that might be a big story going forward, where all these people who thought they were in pretty good shape because of their pensions, you know, that they were going to be able to retire on whatever they've saved because it'll be augmented by a really nice public sector pension. Well, all of those people are going to find out they're only going to get half of what they thought, or less in some cases. And so you'll see a huge section of society that considers itself upper middle class right now get pushed down into lower middle class. They'll still have a pension, but it won't be enough to do more than maybe pay the rent. That'll be it.
Yeah.
And so that's going to be a big story going forward, too, because if we think that auto workers and factory workers in general are disillusioned and willing to vote for fringe candidates, wait till the public sector unions find themselves in the same boat, because
they'll vote for Karl Marx.
That's a much bigger group of people.
They'll vote for Karl Marx, you know?
Yes, exactly.
You'll
get a populist movement from the left. You know, Bernie Sanders already was that. And, you know, he's probably too old to take advantage of this happening over the next decade.
Yeah.
But Elizabeth Warren maybe could be swept in on a wave of left-wing populism or somebody like that. So, you know, the politics, because finances are getting crazier, politics are going to get crazier, too. And if we thought Donald Trump was the end of the process, we're going to realize, looking back on this from 20 years from now, that he was just the beginning of the process. You know, he was populism 1.0, and more is coming.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hey, when you have mass spread, well, they're not going to default. What they'll do is they're going to haircut everybody, kind of Detroit on steroids. I mean, what'd they lose in Detroit? 5 to 8%. And those average person there was getting like $18,000 a year. I mean, that was a big hit for those people because they weren't milking the system. In New York, you've got all these 6-digit rapists there, I would call them, who are just raping the system. They're going to get like 80% haircuts. All right. Yeah. In New Jersey, same thing.
The thing is, cops and firefighters are great people.
Yeah.
So they, they're not the enemy or anything, but the deals that their union leaders cut with previous mayors and governors are bankrupting their cities and states.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're a firefighter, should you retire with a six-figure pension? Does that make any sense at all in this world? But stuff like that is happening, as you said. There are these people with these massive pensions that they're going to lose, frankly.
You know, because they spiked the last year. Yeah. They spiked the last year or the last 18 months, and they're just scamming the system, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just scamming the system.
The system is making it possible for people who are, you know, basically
designed,
good guys,
yeah,
to scam the system. Yeah. So it's a form of moral hazard, really, where you take people who are, you know, good, normal, regular people, but present them with this opportunity that they know isn't quite right, where they can.
Who can say no?
They can. Yeah. Or, well, it's hard to say no to an extra $50,000 a year, you know, mm-hmm. for the average person, because look at all the good you can do for your family with that. Most people aren't going to do that.
There's
another thing in the public sector that they do that I have a friend who's done this, where you retire and you start taking your pension, but then you go back to work doing a similar job in a different department
as a consultant
and start in on a new pension.
It's called double, triple dipping or whatever.
Yes.
And you see it all the time. We had it in my town. They basically retire the guy, but then nobody can do the job as good as this guy did. So, he worked for one town, and then they just hire him back as a consultant for another town. And he gets $500,000 a year in the school district doing the same job he did at a different school district as CFO. So,
educational administrator is worth $500,000 a year.
No,
nowhere.
Of course not.
Not college, not high school, nowhere.
Lunacy. Yeah. So it's a scam and it's going to come crashing down. Donald Trump can't fix it. It's Humpty Dumpty. That's what we have to look forward to. Anyway, that's it for today. Check out John's work at dollarcollapse.com. Check out our work at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Sign up for the newsletter. Got one coming out this week about education. So you could spell that phonetically or in Ebonics, however you want to spell it. But there's a difference between going to school and the lessons learned at life at the good old school of hard knocks. So I think it's something I want to address. Also, questions, comments, criticism, feedback, send an email, kl@kerrylutz.com, kl@kerrylutz.com. Check out our page on Facebook, Financial Survival Network, who would have thunk, and the Twitter feed @KerryLutz. Got a lot of great stuff coming up. Hey, got one coming up with a guy. I've been watching him on YouTube. He's kind of a hippie guy from Vermont, from Burlington, a libertarian. He's amazing. I'm going to try to get him to come to Freedom Fest and get him a speaking gig. He is the best commentator around. He goes by the name, if you're on YouTube, Styx, STYX, Hex, HEX, EN, Styx, Hex, and Hammer, HAMMER 666. I mean, the guy is an amazing political commentator, little salty language. He's a millennial, but he is amazing. I mean, the guy is so good, really fine commentator. He's got 80,000 plus subscribers on YouTube, if you can believe it. So check him out coming up after John. And John, we'll talk to you next week. Be well.
Thanks, Gary. See ya.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.